toy car to Danny from me, fluffy slippers to Emma from me, the Cheesy McCrispy to me from me. Treat yourself to the new Cheesy McCrispy from McDonald's with the delicious cheese sauce, cheese slices and crispy onions. Go on, you've earned it. Available until the 5th of Jan. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
This is an ad from BetterHelp. This holiday season, do something for a special person in your life. You. Give yourself the gift of better mental health. BetterHelp Online Therapy connects you with a qualified therapist via phone, video, or live chat. It's convenient and affordable and can be done from the comfort of your own home. Having someone to talk to is truly a gift, especially during the holidays. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Hey, y'all. Today, I'll be reading the letter by our listener. Dear Millennial, I guess my question is, how do you move on from a friendship that you've had for years? I mean, someone you love dearly. The situation is this. I was friends with someone for like 5 years. Just recently, I was introduced to her ex-boyfriend, and I had to be around her ex-boyfriend because her ex-boyfriend worked with my new boyfriend, and they're very close. Knowing this, my friend made me kind of choose sides. I know she's still mourning the loss of her ex, and now I see her ex all the time. The other day, I went to her ex's house for a barbecue. We got invited, and on Instagram, I liked the photo of her ex and everyone in it. And she came down on me. She called me after the barbecue and honestly made me feel so terrible about myself. She felt like I had betrayed her completely for liking the photo and for accepting the invitation to go to her ex's house. She was like, I need some time away from you. And I was like, all right, I'll give you some space. Actually, I also need some space from this relationship. I feel very uncomfortable with you telling me I need to hate someone you hate. I have never told you to hate other people that have wronged me. I would never ask that of you. She went crazy when I told her that. She was yelling at me on the phone. And then she was like, you really need to think about what kind of friend you've been. And I felt like, am I in friend jail? I was so angry. I cried the whole weekend. My question is, how do I move on from this? How do you move on from a friendship that you didn't want to end? Sincerely, Sticky Friend Situation. You're listening to Dear Millennial, navigating adulthood one question at a time. I'm Megan Tan.
Show out, finesse, See the way I'm moving, they gon' never forget, That's the way you do it when you're living your best. Settle for less, never that. We don't do that, no way. Show out, Say less, A number uno, I'm pursuing and forgetting the rest, Following my groove and it's gon' tell us what's next. Excellence, so don't ever test, cause I'm acing it,
On this episode, how do you move on from a friendship breakup?
I'm the one you want around. I'm the one you want around. Number one to talk of the town.
Sitting quietly once you've made the house all shiny. Ooh. Downtime can be just fine playing bangers from the 90s.
Tea break, lunch break,
ooh, maybe listen to the ad break. Sometimes it's not time for some tombola, right? It's enjoying lasagna time, chilling with a book time, or time to visit your nan time. Go on, play some other time. Put your phone down. Tombola.
Open for fun.
Terms apply, 18 plus, gambleaware.org.
So, you want to be a marketer? It's easy. You just have to score a ton of leads and figure out a way to turn them all into customers. Plus manage a dozen channels, write a million blogs and launch 100 campaigns all at once. When that's done, simply make your socials go viral and bring in record profits. No sweat. Okay, fine. It's a lot of sweat. But with HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools, launching benchmark-breaking campaigns is easier than ever. Get started at hubspot.com/marketers.
All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's should we clap again?
Let's do a clap. I'll snap.
One.
You know Amor, right? She's the senior producer of Dear Millennial.
Great.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. My neighbors are coming through.
What's up, neighbors?
Well, every Friday, Amor and I have our weekly production meeting. We go over the next steps for the show, scheduling, brainstorming, blah, 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 blah. And we don't typically record our meetings, but after we got that letter that I just read, it reminded Amor of an event that had happened to her about a decade ago.
Okay, so backstory. Where are we?
It's 2013.
Amor is 21, and she just transferred to a new college and is living far away from home for the very first time.
Who were you? What were you like?
Who was I? I was very insecure.
A few months before, Amor received a rejection letter from her dream school. Amor was starting her life over in a place where she never imagined herself and where she knew no one.
And I'm a student at UC Davis. And so this is where I meet my two roommates in my first apartment, were these two girls. And one of them, she and I instantly bonded. And I'll call her Monica.
Okay, so tell me about the first interaction you had with this woman who you would become friends with.
It must have been that first weekend. The only people that we knew were like our roommates. And so we would cook together and we would watch shows together. Oh, Snapchat was so big in 2014. And so Monica and I bonded over coming up with the most ridiculous Snapchat stories that were only funny to us.
Together, they would binge MTV's Awkward, take a million BuzzFeed quizzes, and have movie nights.
We loved watching TV shows together and talking about music and movies and TV. We grew up on the same cultural diet. And so it was like I met someone who, like, I didn't have to explain the references to. She understood the references.
How would you describe her as a person?
She was confident. She, to me at least, my perception, had, like, graduated growth-wise, where I was still kind of growing.
Monica was effortlessly funny and clever in every social situation, while Amor doubted herself constantly. A few months after meeting and living together, when Amor was facing something she had never faced before, Monica was there.
I was experiencing dissociation, and that was something I didn't know was a thing. But essentially, for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it basically feels like you're not in your body. I describe it as being like an NPC in a video game. Like you feel like you're not controlling yourself. And I was having major dissociative experiences where it was very scary and jarring because I was also 6 hours away from home, 6 hours away from the people who I love and trust. I was having these episodes that were so terrifying. And I remember going to the school counselor. The experience wasn't very helpful and it was very isolating. And it got so bad at one point that I couldn't fall asleep at night at all. I had to go to the school doctor and they had to give me sleeping pills because I didn't sleep for like 4 days because I was so afraid. And there were times where Monica and I and another friend as well would literally talk to me all night long because they knew I was so afraid of being alone. And that made such an impression on me because these were people who were becoming my family. They were like, oh, Amor's nervous. Let's watch this stupid YouTube video of like this guy lip syncing these football players. Let's watch Gangnam Style 10 times and learn the dance. Like, let's do all of these things to distract Amor from how scared she is. And she really showed up in a lot of those ways.
By the end of their first year together, Amor and Monica were inseparable. They studied after class, went to the same parties. Sometimes they would drag their beds out of their rooms so that they could have a slumber party in the living room together and stay up all night talking. When Amor peered into her future after graduation, Monica was in it.
I just remember thinking, like, I'll be a bridesmaid at her wedding. You know, she'll be a bridesmaid at my wedding. our friendship looked like we were building a friendship that would last for decades, like they always tell you you're going to do in your 20s.
Then what happened?
So I think it was a lot of little things. A year of friendship has gone by. In our first apartment, we were three people living together. And in the second apartment, it was myself, Monica, the other friend who was our close friend as well. And then we had two new people come in because, like, we got a bigger apartment. And so we needed, like, two new people. So it was the five of us. And things started to feel like a shift when we got a new roommate. She was a grad student. And she really did not like me. I think I was a little too goofy and a little too loud. And she was very reserved and very type A. Like, we just did not gel. And I also, this was at a time where, like, I was very much a social butterfly. Like, the first year or more, who was, like, very insecure, by the second year, I found, like, a wider set of friends. Yes, I had this very codependent best friendship with Monica, but I also had a bunch of people from class that I met. I started working at Trader Joe's. It's a big community and a very social place. And I made so many friends from there. And I would have friends over all the time.
Trader Joe's is very friendly. I'm like, yo, I want to work here. You guys are so nice.
Trader Joe's literally hires people based off their personalities.
Yeah. I know. I feel it.
Yeah. And then you throw in the mix that almost everyone that works there is a student.
Yeah.
Also, I wasn't going home a lot during the school year because it wasn't always easy to. So that family unit that I had built with Monica, I was then building with Trader Joe's people too. And I don't think this new roommate liked how loud and goofy I was. She would kind of like roll her eyes at things I would say. Or if I said something, she wouldn't look at me and talk to me. She would look at other people. If I asked her a question, she would never make eye contact with me. And I just kind of thought, okay, she doesn't like me. That's totally fine. She was from a very wealthy part of San Diego, and I could tell that she really enjoyed name dropping. Like, she constantly would bring up the fact that she was neighbors with Bill Gates. Monica and her started becoming closer friends. And that was the first shift that I noticed. Monica and I would hang out first year of school on a near daily basis. And now I'm working all the time, and the friend that she hangs out with is a mean girl from San Diego. So I was like, okay, well, maybe she's not mean to Monica. I guess that's cool. And then I started writing more. I started like a little website on Squarespace, and I would write like essays and submit them to different like competitions and media outlets to like A, make an income of some kind, and B, kind of bulk up my portfolio because I knew I wanted to go into media in some landscape. So the essays were very diaristic and cringy and silly.
Why were they cringy? What do you mean?
Cringy in the sense that, like, you know, I was a 20-something, and you think that when you're that age, you think that the only thing, that everything is only happening to you, that no one could possibly experience what you're experiencing. And I read those sentences now, and they're really bad.
Amor was learning how to be her truest self in her writing. When she was going through an intense breakup, she wrote about it and published it. When her anxiety got worse, she wrote about it and then published it. And she would share what she was writing with her friends. So you sent them the link.
I can't remember if I had like applied to something and then like put it on Facebook, like, you know, back when you would share your status. I wrote this thing and I submitted it to like Modern Love. And then, like, you send it to the world and people read it. So I may have done that. But to be honest, I was very naive and I didn't really think too much about the fact that, like, people were reading my stuff.
Nobody does, girl.
Yeah. But they were reading
even
it.
Right now.
Dude, they were reading it. Unfortunately, in this case, they were. Then to add some kind of, like, texture about what was also happening at this time, I would go to friends' parties and I would be, like, a sloppy drunk. I would just be, like, so silly and stupid. And one thing that my friends and I didn't have in common is that they didn't have to work and go to school at the same time, whereas I had to pay for rent and stuff. Their parents paid for their housing. And I remember just feeling so burnt out. And I think that's why I leaned towards more of my Trader Joe's friends, because they also had to work. And the thing I didn't relate to with my roommates was that none of them had to work and go to school. All they had to focus on was school. So when I would go to parties, it was like, work hard, play hard. I was like, okay, cool. I work hard, I'll play hard. And I could not play hard. I was like, I would cry. Like, it was like embarrassing. It was so,
I have also been a sad drunk.
Yeah. It was so embarrassing. I just like, look back. It's like, she just did not know the drill. She could not read the room. These people don't care. These people don't want to hear you cry. They just want to party and make out and be dumb. And I was like dealing with so much like sadness in my heart and in my head that like when I was drunk, it just would come out. And I didn't realize I wasn't in a space that people wanted to hear that. That wasn't their job. And so people gossip, and that's what they did.
When Amor would come home from work and school, she no longer went straight to Monica's room to catch up. Instead, Monica and their San Diego roommate would barely acknowledge she was there. Amor would awkwardly carry her bike through the living room to the backyard patio while they whispered. And she started feeling less welcomed in her own home.
Did I miss something? Did I, like, not get the memo here? What happened?
But Amor tries to ignore it, keeps going on with her life. Schoolwork parties, until one day. I'll tell you what happens right after the break. So Amor ignores it, keeps going on with her life. Schoolwork parties.
So when I get home, I hear them talking about me. And I like knock on the door to be like, you guys are talking about me. Like, let's resolve it face to face. And that's when I start getting like yelled at.
On the other side of the door is Monica, Monica's boyfriend, and San Diego girl. When they yell at her, Amor is paralyzed. They tell her behavior is embarrassing, especially because she's writing about her personal life publicly on a blog. She doesn't know what to say or do. She goes numb. All the things Monica had been saying behind her back were now all out in the open on full blast.
In that fight, I realized, oh, we're done. That was the end of our friendship.
But the hardest part after Amor's fight with Monica was that they were still roommates.
And we avoided each other in the apartment. Like, I would spend the night at my other friends' houses. I picked up more shifts at Trader Joe's. If she walked in, I would walk away. I was barely home that semester. And I think it was within 2 months, our lease was up, and then I moved out.
They didn't walk across the stage together at graduation. They didn't move to the same city. Amor was not Monica's bridesmaid at her wedding.
They really funneled a lot of hate towards me. It took me a long time to realize that I wasn't in the wrong for a long time.
How long is a long time?
Oh, God. I think for like 2 years after that, it took me a really long time to consider anyone a friend. Even the people that were really good friends to me, I would keep people at arm's length. I didn't tell them what was going on. I dealt with a lot of things in private. It made me feel really afraid to be vulnerable with people about what was going on. I would make friends, and I wouldn't want to like initiate hanging out because I just felt like I'm going to be a burden to them or they're going to say I'm wrong. And so I think it took actually, this is something that even my friend who met me at that time, she said that she noticed that I wouldn't say, oh, they're my really good friend. She was like, ever since then, you would just be like, oh, I know this person. You always distanced people in your language. I would always distance myself from people.
And then one day, Amor gets a message.
Dear Sticky Friend Situation, I see Monica's name in my inbox on Facebook. When I see her name, I don't feel anger or sadness. It's weird, but I think I sort of expected I'd hear from her again. Like, the fight on that day, the year and a half prior, couldn't have been our forever ending. Monica tells me that she's sorry for what went down that day. She says she shouldn't have yelled at me, that I was clearly in a lot of pain and already hurting. She tells me that she saw a lot of herself in me. So when I was struggling with my mental health or being a reckless 20-something, it scared her. She didn't know how to be there for me, and she was sorry for that. I apologize too. We weren't trying to forge a path forward to be friends again. At this point, it was already done. Your letter reminded me of the pain that I felt when I would spend all weekend long crying and avoiding home because I felt so much shame about what my friend was telling me about myself. Female friendships can feel like sisterhood. And when our friendship ended, it was a big, big loss. A loss I had to mourn for a long time. It was hard until one day it wasn't. 2 years later, Monica's mom, who I am still mutual friends with on Facebook, posted a picture of Monica getting fitted for her wedding. I messaged Monica to tell her I was happy for her. She messaged back, said thanks, and asked how I was doing. I told her I was gearing up to move to New York City. She said she hoped I'd get to live out the friends living situation I always wanted. I don't have the giant rent-controlled apartment or the coffee shop with the barista named Gunther. But I do have really, really great friends now. I hope this helps sticky friend situation. All my best. Amor.
If you have a question that you want Dear Millennial to try to answer, you can do two things. You can call 442-444-0756 and leave a voice message. That number will be in the show notes. Also, you can email me at hey@millennialpodcast.org. That's hey@millennialpodcast.org. Also, this show is made totally independently. So if you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/dearmillennial. This episode of Dear Millennial was written by me, Megan Tan. It was also edited by Amor Yates and myself. Amor is the senior producer on the show. Donald Paz is the mixer and masterer. Our theme song is by Jupiter. Ashley Wittenborn created the artwork. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe to Dear Millennial wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at Megan Lee Tan and the show at Millennial Podcasts. Dear Millennial is a Tan Lines production.